The main issue I'm having with Florida, it's kind of hot here. Florida's pretty hot, man.
Unfortunately, you, Mr. Schicker, and you, Mr. Arnett, are coming in where it's about to really spice up around here. I love FP. He might be too close to me. Like, when I picked him up for golf yesterday, it was crazy.
If I just lean a little bit this way and look out through that corner window of my kitchen, I'm pretty sure I can see his front.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. At the turn, 6 under at Medalist. I've seen him play good golf. I have never seen to that. It was, and then you had Joey D on the other side blowing up and just having a wild round. That was wild to see.
What's not to love, man? Yeah. I mean, everything was just firing.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another edition, nice piece of the Bob Does Sports Podcast. Fellas, I'm going to lead out of the gate. We got our new scramble, 3v1 scramble, first pro, verbally agreed to.
Whoa.
As of 10 minutes ago.
Can we guess?
Yeah.
Is it obvious?
No comment.
Is it Xander?
Jet takes his first guess. Joey D, who would you like to guess?
Akshay.
Not it, but a really strong guess. Take it. Go ahead.
Wyndham Clark.
That is exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. Nice.
That's nice awesome. Herbal.
Yeah, that's big.
Nick, you
that's
look like big. You're filming inside a tuna can.
It looks like a potato, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is some of the worst Wi-Fi I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's
You look grainy.
Hey, you're recording locally. You're recording locally. You're going to be okay.
I called Pop. When we moved here, I was talking to the Pop about getting Wi-Fi. And I was like, what are you going to do for Wi-Fi? And I was like, I'm probably going to call AT&T, like my building's place AT&T. I was like, what are you getting? He's like, they told me to get this company called Earthlink.
Can you hear me now?
And I said, what's Earthlink? And now we're seeing what it is.
Oh man.
Now he's gone. He's gone.
Oh, geez.
It sounds like the Cricket Wireless of like.
He's gonna be everybody okay, else's Wi-Fi because looks good. Jet, yours looks crispy.
Well, yeah. FP's
looks good.
I didn't get Earthlink. How did Wyndham Clark come about? Did you just send him a message?
Yeah, I was like, yo, man, like, we would love to get you on the show. It would be awesome when you have some downtime. I know you got the whole PGA thing going on. And he buddied me, but, like, I think it was a good buddy. He was like, yeah, buddy, let's fucking do it.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
He's in Arizona, I think, right?
He's in Arizona. I told him, I said, we'll fly to you, like, wherever it is. And then I think, too, being a breezy athlete, like, maybe we do the 3v1 against Wyndham. But then to get John Ellis in there, I think would be really, really solid.
Tick, you should have gone AT&T. You should not have overthought it.
Yeah, I agree. Was that a community decision that they kind of force you into it?
They banged you.
They did. They recommended Earthlink, which is – yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, man.
For a guy whose job is editing, you think he would have prioritized the AT&T Wi-Fi.
This complex is getting kickbacks from Earthlink. That's what's happening here. There's an inside
100%.
System. 100%. There's some kickbacks going on. You got to get out of there.
I would cancel immediately and switch.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Joey D would get a refund and get his next 6 months free, even though he wouldn't.
I'd get a 2 month free trial.
You know what I did? Because I've taken so much shit on the Berlin Dumb Show about my connection. I got one of these big old fucking extra zippers.
Like
one
of these. What is that?
Oh, are you talking about a smart Wi-Fi? Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. No, I know all about that.
Dog, I love FP. He might be too close to me. Like, when I picked him up for golf yesterday, it was crazy.
If I just lean a little bit this way and look out through that corner window of my kitchen, I'm pretty sure I can see his front.
Yeah, dude, it's wild. I called him yesterday because I was going to pick him up, take him across the street, and I was like, all right, I'm on my way. And I called him 20 seconds after. I was like, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like you got some good central lighting in that apartment of yours.
I like his apartment, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, they don't do lockouts, but they do lighting.
That's great. That's so great, dude.
Yeah, I by the grace of God, it worked out perfectly. I was.
I helped a little bit.
Whoa! I mean, you did. You did help. But let's not call yourself a hero just yet.
I didn't.
One thing I'm not the main issue I'm having with Florida, and it's kind of hot here.
Jesus,
it's hot. It's going to be hot as shit in a couple months.
Florida's pretty hot, man. Did you guys know how hot it was here when we moved here?
Look, I've always said that I'm happy that Joe was my biggest worry about liking it, and he got his time where he knows what it has to offer in season. Unfortunately, you, Mr. Schicker, and you, Mr. Arnett, are coming in where it's about to really spice up around here. But just hold on, stay the course, and just hang in there.
You know, those LA summers had no humidity, Bob. And now we're just sitting in the humidity. I
Pop was wearing a sweatshirt and chino pants yesterday in the blistering heat. And I could see beads of sweat coming down in his frontal cortex area here. All around here.
It was actually pretty nice yesterday. I had no problems with that, but I am going to have to make a change and become a shorts guy. And a t-shirt guy. Like I'm prepared to make that move. It's just going to be too hot. But yesterday was fine. I was fine with yesterday. I was all right.
Yeah, I mean, Twilight. You know what's been fun is playing rounds with the boys off camera, which is something that we never ever got to do, especially with Stubby being so far away. Like with most of us all together, especially even Yaman taking you on my parents' course the other day. That was a special time.
Yeah, that's our new Balboa standing tea time.
Yeah, that was super nice. It's Balboa vibes with an actual nice course.
Yeah, I mean it was just the vibes are high. It's a lot different than LA and then pretty much anywhere. Everybody's super nice. Everybody's super chill. Nobody kind of cares about anything. Everybody smiles at you. I walk by people and everybody's like nodding at each other. It's like the whole place is one country club. It feels like.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. And then I took Yams for dinner at the club after we golfed, and like he was dreading it because there would be people there. And I was like, no, there's not going to be that many people there. Like, you're fine. He's like, I just don't want to see people now. I'm like, all right. Like, and so we went in, the place was fucking mobbed. And he was like pissed at me until he said, you know, it's like, I said this to him. It's like it's your son and you have to worry about him having a good time and if he'll do okay in that environment and you want to make sure he's having fun. Like, that's kind of what it is.
Maybe partially, kind of, but also that's your prerogative. Like, some people don't like going to certain places. Like, my ideal dinner is not necessarily at a country club surrounded by other people, you know, talking about who knows what. I had a great time, but that's just not my like most comfortable place. So you don't have to, it's not like you need to be concerned about that. You did drag me there after I asked you a million times to go somewhere else. But yeah, I mean, it is what we survived. It was good.
Well, it was going to be a Grimaldi session, and not to throw anybody under the bus because you already took it on the Brill and the Dumb Show, Pop. But Pop pulled the shoot really late on Grimaldi's. So then at that point, we were all like, fuck it.
Yeah. In a weird way, too, because he's like, yeah, I'm in for Grimaldi's. You called him 4 minutes later. He's like, I just sat on the couch. It was so weird. It was so strange. It was like a instant flip.
He needed an hour, he said. It's like he was getting ready for the fucking prom.
Yeah, they were setting up that Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Surprised you're still not there with how bad it looks.
He told me he turned on a Bo Burnham special that he's seen. That's what he told me. I was like, look, man, I don't even know where to start with this.
What an idiot.
Fuck you, Bob.
We got to Grimaldi's yesterday, though.
And that was awesome, man. I really, really enjoyed it. You know who was so happy? I kept just peeking over there at Stubby. Stubby was in a real good spot there, man.
It's what's not – I mean, what's not to love, man? Yeah. I mean, everything was just firing. We got the perfect amount of pizza. It hit. It was just – we literally nailed every single fucking – I ate a salad.
So I know.
I had a salad to start.
Got a garden salad.
Yeah, I was feeling good about myself.
Yeah.
I mean, the fives in there,
dude. That place,
that, but
the vibes, the pizza, everything's great. But what they deserve more credit for is that guy was on top of the drinks. He was refilling drinks before I was done with my drink. Yep. It was this place got it all. It's an unbelievable establishment.
That Oreo cheesecake.
Oh yeah, that was the only thing. No, I did. I don't know if we necessarily needed it. It ended up being really good. And then I even thought about doing Dairy Queen every night. I come to just a shoot off with Dairy Queen on whether or not I'm going to do it. Having that, because we didn't have them in LA, so you couldn't Postmate them. Every night I battle with myself on whether or not I'm going to get Dairy Queen.
Well, Bob, you got now the Dairy Queen summer blizzards are now coming out.
Yeah, what was that all about, Joey D?
I sent it. Nobody responded to it. I put it in the group chat. I thought everybody would be jazzed up about it, and I didn't get a single response. I was actually a little bit perturbed. Here it is. Hold on. Let me pull it up here. We got cotton candy, picnic peach cobbler, ultimate cookie, peanut butter cookie dough party, brownie batter, and frosted animal cookies.
See, I actually, Prez, you didn't like the cotton candy. I'm in on the cotton candy. I think that's
awesome. Yeah, that'll be like fun.
That could be really good. Could be really weird.
Yeah.
I mean, the ultimate cookie is Oreo, Chips Ahoy, and Nutter Butter.
Okay.
What's Nutter Butter?
Had a Nutter Butter?
No, I never
tried it. Peanut butter cookie. Yeah, they're really good.
Really? That might be a book job.
By the way, another thing that I will put on the agenda that I think is going to be a lot of fun, Joey D got me an all-time birthday gift with the PS5. What I want to do is set up the PS5 and do 2v2 FIFA matches, 2v2 Bob DeSports FIFA matches.
You got FIFA?
Awesome. I'm going to get it.
I tell you what, man. I've been like really, really yearning to just wax some ass in FIFA. And I tell you what, man. I for all the times that Bob's beat me in Madden, FIFA is my jam. And if we could get the FIFA matches going, that would be tremendous. I'll take my licks in Madden, but FIFA is
Now, Joey D, would you say that the gap between me and you in Madden is a lot larger and wider than the gap between me and you in FIFA? Because I do feel like you are the better FIFA player, but on any given day, I think I could end up winning.
I would say I would beat you in Madden one every 30 plus matches. I think you would beat me in FIFA. Well, you never beat me in FIFA.
I think
you would beat me in FIFA maybe one every 15 to 20.
I thought you were going to say 50. Okay, that's fair.
15 to 20. I don't think, by the way, I haven't played in a while. If I start getting going with that shit again, dude, I can turn up in FIFA. I can have a lot of fun. When Ticket used to live with me, I'd be playing FIFA all the time. And I was always like Division One on online games. So like I can hold my own.
Who's your team?
I would always play with Juventus. FIFA, dude.
To watch him play FIFA is one of the wildest experiences you could possibly ever have. He's screaming at these guys. When things are going well, it's of course because of him. When things aren't going well, it's because of the game. It's because it's of like all golf. The internet. It's because of anything but him.
It's his same golf game. It's the same thing. Nothing changes. Like, he's not above blaming the controller on issues or the computer, like, and he's dead. Press, when you used to stay with Gutsy, wouldn't you wake up to him playing FIFA?
I don't know if I ever woke up to him playing FIFA, but definitely like waking up to him like on a college basketball slate. Like, I wake up to him screaming at like the Creighton Blue Jays to like slow it down in the first half.
They got a lot of potential. They got, you know.
He's the same way on the craps table too. You know, somebody's hands are over the table. You know,
I mean, that's just etiquette 101. Yeah, like, you gotta know what you're doing. That's like FP. That'd be like somebody walking through your line before you
get it.
Like you would throw a fit too. Especially if you're putting the lights out and you're feeling good. There's some things that are just, if you don't know ask. If you don't, if otherwise you shouldn't be but there. Go to the get mad at
people for taking too long to make bets because they're asking about the game. That was just one example. All I'm saying is when things are hot, you're happy, everything's good. You don't mind if a hand is reaching over a table if it comes up on a six or something, right? But if it craps out, then it was the hands.
You can't put your hand over the table.
Not when somebody's rolling towards it because it could hit your hand and then it changes everything.
No wonder that guy was pissed at me.
Press the hard eight. Press the hard two.
Ticket had the most fun ever with me.
There's extra dollar on that bet. I'm gonna need.
Ticket knows. I showed him the ropes. I showed Tick the ropes, and I'd be happy to do the same with anybody else.
I do want to learn. It looks like such a fun game.
You're a great teacher too. I mean, I found you to be very. Sometimes we're leaving a lot of money out there just to lose it. I think we should pull back a little bit. But I mean, you're a good teacher at that. It's a difficult game to play, and you're pretty good at that. I'll give you that for sure.
The things I'm good at, I'm very good at. The things I'm not good at, I stink at. One of those being golf.
He's not good at it. It's someone else's fault.
You know what? At least with Joey D, you got to give him credit in the sense of he's the same way throughout. At least you know you're going to get that in every facet of what he does. You're going to get that exact same guy. Some people think that that's just on the golf course. It's not. I've seen that Joe in restaurants. I've seen him playing Xbox. I've seen him at the craps table. Like, you're getting that guy everywhere you go.
I put up a story the other day as a joke when Wyndham missed the putt because of the lip out. I went on a rant, like the circumference of the pin, you know, maintenance.
That was funny.
And it was a joke. And you know how many people messaged me like being like, yo, what the fuck? You hit it too hard. Like Scheffler deserved to win. Like I was like, the fact that people don't realize that I'm joking right now is kind of scary because it shows that I am psychopathic and like I'm enough of a psychopath that people actually believe that I'm actually really ranting right now and I'm not just joking as a bit. Like people, I had to be like, yo, you guys gotta learn to laugh at yourself. You're gonna have an ulcer otherwise. Like it's a joke. Like people were getting really upset.
Yeah, the only thing I will say with that though, in their defense, there's been videos where you do blame that, so they think.
Park, not at freaking TPC Sawgrass the Sunday afternoon of the Players Championship. Bob,
Ty Wolf won too many times, Joseph. People think it's Ty Wolf again. It's hard.
I'd like to say that the maintenance crew at the Players was a little bit better than a Moorpark that day.
But by the way, I don't appreciate these Moorpark shots, dude. That's our spot.
That was where the I'm telling you, the cup was not even. It was not good.
I love Moorpark.
I do too, but they got to be better. They normally are, which is why I hold them to a higher standard.
It's a great spot. It's a great spot. The rounds have been sun. Something that I want to talk about, and you might not like this, Tubi, but the round we played at Medalist, when this guy was in the fucking at the turn, 6 under at a very, very hard course. I've seen him play good golf. I have never seen to that. It was, and then you had Joey D on the other side that from my stories where Joey D's blowing up and just having a wild, wild round. Oh my God. Oh, it hit the rake. It hit the rake. Joey was going to be right at it. It hit the rake and bounced into the bunker. Oh, my God. And then you would pan back to Subi. You just locked in. That was wild to see. To where the course record at the time, you would think, if you post another 6 under, if you go 12 under, that's got to be a course record there, no?
Yeah, I mean, 60 is pretty low. that's not. I mean, I don't know. It's hard. It's when you're in the middle of it, it seems as crazy to me as it did to you guys. Because you get to 3 under, you're like, damn, I'm playing good. Then like 4, you're like, all right, what's happening here? 5, you're like, all right, let's
six
just get
under was a tap in. It almost went in.
Yeah, and then just to hit that shot on 9 where it's like, I don't even, like, I just picked the ball up because it's inches away for birdie. It's like, yeah, and then we sit and have a sandwich.
Yeah, I almost think we should have kept it moving, Bob. I feel like we banged
him. That's him. I thought it was hysterical.
I would have had no issue just omitting the turn and keep going to see how low he could have got. Then he sit, you know, we're sitting down, we're stuffing our faces, you know, had chips are flying, more drinks. I feel like he was on such a heater that if we would have just kept that going, maybe he gets another one or two birdies in the next 3-4 holes.
Hey, I thought it was hysterical that he was just banging home ruffles during that. But I would be, if I was ever at, going for my personal best, nothing would change at the halfway house. Like I would treat the halfway house the exact. I wouldn't like change anything. Like I still would go sit down and have the sandwich.
And, no, I would skip it. That shit slows.
You
I mean,
skip
for
it,
you,
Bob.
Yeah, I would skip the halfway house.
Scheffler didn't go to the halfway house halfway through his round on Sunday, Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, I know how much the halfway house means to Bob. Part of the experience. You know, we're not going to because what if we do that? What if I'm like, hey, guys, I want to keep this momentum going. And then I shoot a fucking 40. And it's like, bro, we missed lunch so you could shoot a fucking 40. Like, it didn't matter.
By the way, we didn't know we –
that first swing out of the halfway house is a little different. It's a little different.
Yeah.
It is.
Fair.
And it wasn't like we went and just got like a cup of tuna. We got quesadillas made. We were sitting there. We were there for 20 minutes. We let two groups past us.
Sure did.
I mean, it changed everything. When I took the first swing after the halfway hut, I had a belly full of chicken quesadilla. I put one at OB. Like it was – you know, it changes the dynamic. When you're feeling good like that, you just want to get to the next hole, to the next tee box, to the next shot.
But you know what, though, Joey D? We gave you a lunch ball.
True. I think I lost that one, too.
Yeah.
Might have. I was shocked at how good that quesadilla was because they didn't have it on the menu, and Joey D just asked for a quesadilla.
I went off script, yeah.
You did. You did, and it was absolutely terrific. Go ahead, Joseph.
By the way, we have Grimaldi's now as our hotspot here. I want to just make the boys aware. I just went to a recommended sandwich spot for my new sandwich series. I'm going to do another episode. Mm. But this spot, what is it called? The fuck is it called, Bob?
Super memorable, clearly.
Rinaldi's. I was thinking Grimaldi's. And now Rinaldi's, it is a sandwich spot. It's like a little hole in the wall. And you go in there, and they're playing the Pat McAfee show, and they had like sandwiches and shit. It's like a little spot. This place bangs. Tick, you're gonna love this spot, Tick. Rinaldi's.
Isn't
like
that the
deli.
Place that has the? I think Grant has a sandwich there. Isn't that the place where Grant Horvath has a sandwich?
Talking about.
I Grant told me that
has a sandwich.
They put a sandwich for us on the menu. Like Ricky Fowler has a sandwich. Grant's the one who showed me that. I went with Grant. We sat down. They're friends of the program.
Yeah, Bob,
they're
you've been terrific. Talking about this place for weeks.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I don't think they
have a sandwich for us, Bob. I didn't see one. I mean, there's so many, though.
Grant mentioned that to me, and then somebody DM'd me it as well. They have like 100 sandwiches, and it's just named after a bunch of people. I got a sandwich when I was with Grant. Then I went back the next day because they were raving about their bacon, egg, and cheese. And they made the bacon, egg, and cheese, and they threw it to me in like the tin foil.
Like
and they threw it.
Fish market?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was.
I've been eyeing a spot, Bob, for lunch today.
Talk to me.
Because I've got nothing else going on. It was recommended by a friend of mine called Antonio's Delis and Meat.
Sounds good.
And I look it up. First off, I showed it the ticket. Looks like some really good shit. And I look up where it is, and guess what's next door, Bob?
Dairy Queen.
No. Three Natives.
Wow. Oh, by Tyler Cameron and Company.
On Route 1 in North Palm.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Three Natives is a really good acai bowl.
What was the pizza spot that was right there, too, that we went with the chick who was bossing everybody around?
That'd be Uncle Vinny's.
That place is good for a slice.
You know what's got a great grandma slice is Sal's Express, the one I sent you, Stube.
Yeah.
Cheese is okay. The grandma slice is really, really good.
I can get on board with that.
Yeah. Something that I'm sick of that needs to be figured out is the pizza places that – the margarita pretty much is the cheese, but then there's some places where the margarita is different from the cheese. So how do we decipher that, Joseph?
A margarita should never be the same as a cheese. So, I mean, it should never, a margarita should be, it's normally a different style of cheese and it's with basil. It's a totally different pizza. So I don't know why some places do it the same. It should be a totally different pie.
You know, because who is margarita pizzas? Is that lady at Sawgrass that flamed your ass, dude?
Wow.
You remember her? Yeah, why was she so mean?
My goodness gracious. When you said margarita pizza, that was the first thing I thought, because you said a slice. We were at TPC Sawgrass for the players, and you went to get food as you do. I think it was your second run, actually, because we had just eaten. What we just had
Cousin's Maine lobster.
And then you went for pizza and you asked the lady, you go, can I have a slice, a water, and some fries? And she goes, you want a slice of water? She
what a dummy.
And then she kept giving. She was like, okay. And you want fries with that? If it was like an absurd ask. It was one of the more uncomfortable positions I've been in, and I can only imagine that you've been in.
But Briz and Jet, you guys were there. I wasn't in the wrong. Like, it was crazy to me that she was doing that.
Some people should not be in hospitality, man.
She didn't know what slice you wanted. You said, I'll take a slice and a water and fries. And she was like, we have four slices. So instead of being like, what slice would you like, honey? You know, which would have solved the problem. She goes, you want a slice of water? And then she gave you shit for having the like you said, Jet, having the pizza and the fries. It's like, ma'am, you serve both of these things.
Yeah, it's totally
weird. It was so weird. Like, why would your restaurant offer these both?
Yeah, she was
like, and people who are rude to customers in the hospitality industry should be fired on the spot.
I don't know if she was just fucking with me.
Yeah, she wasn't trying to be like rude necessarily. She was being kind of playful, but in like a way that
she never smiled. She was never like, just kidding.
That's why I'm usually all for that type of banter. I usually love that, but it was just
play it right.
Yeah,
but she wanted the laughter. She wanted it, but she went about it in such a way that it was just a blank stare from all of us.
It was a bad experience, to be honest. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So one thing I miss about being in the restaurant industry is if people gave attitude like that, I'd put them in check pretty fucking quick.
Customers?
That's what you miss?
No,
about.
The employees. The employees, Jed. Like my employees. No, I ran a tight ship. And I, you know, that shit would never have happened, you know, if I was running that pizza stand. It just shouldn't happen. The customer's always right, whether you like it or not. You be respectful. You're in the hospitality industry. You bite your tongue and you say, sure, no problem. I'll get you a slice of water. You go over and you slice that fucking water and you hand it to the person and you say, here you go. Have a nice day.
Yeah. You miss reprimanding people the most about working.
It was one of the things that I got enjoyment about. It's like I worked my way up into a management position, and like all the shit that I had to deal with on a regular basis is that like when you know, when people came in and they're like, the team's awesome and this and that, like I would take that as a compliment to myself because I knew that I was running a tight ship and I was doing my job well. You know, if somebody stepped out of line like that, and Tick knows, I would lose my shit, man. It would be an issue.
Flame somebody's ass, Cutsy?
I fired a bunch of people.
He, by the way, the most
underrated. At Peninsula, anyways.
The most underrated Joey D story of all time. We've talked about it before, but it's asinine to me that he did this. Is the guy who was being obnoxious and wouldn't pay his tab, and he threw his check in the air and went to walk out. It was like a $400 tab, but it's the Four Seasons. That place makes like $1 million a day. So usually you just call security. There's cameras all around the place. They'll know the guests. They'll figure it out. Cutsy decides to tackle this guy before he could leave the restaurant.
It was outside.
Security's just like looking down, and Cutsy's like, are you going to fucking help me? He's like, call the cops. And he's holding this guy down. It's like, bro, just let him walk out, call security.
We got the cops to come. They asked if I wanted to press charges. The brother showed up, begged me not to press charges. The guy paid in full. You know, solved the issue.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones. It's that, and then the video.
That security guy that just did nothing. He just
He was a cool guy, though. I vibed with him, but no, he didn't. He wasn't very good at his job, but a great guy.
Great guy, but he did nothing to help. I was like, call the cops. I'm holding this guy. He's trying to kick me as I'm holding him down on the cement.
There's so many. I mean, some of the hotel stories that we have are just – some of them are just absolutely unbelievable. You coming Poppy's in with the shit. Oh, Poppy's seen a whole lot of shit up at that. I would go back if you gave me if they said to me that you could go back and have the same staff, everything, and run it back at the Four Seasons for a month. I would commit to that.
Imagine it's filmed like a Big Brother style, like undercover reality show, like at the Four Seasons.
I mean, when you think of all the people that were in there at one time, Poppy, you, me,
Axl
that was
Rose.
The international carpool was in there.
Oh,
that.
The car, yeah, Big Maple was in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty unbelievable.
Some characters for sure.
When I moved to LA, one of the first things Bob told me about Ticket was that he like used to give like Bob Costas drinks or something. And I was like, that's the coolest fucking shit ever. That's the coolest fucking, he's like, they're both like, Bob Costas loves the Tick. And I was like, what the fuck is going on over here? How did Tick?
Yeah, like Bob Costas was Ticket's guy. Like he just, there are people at the hotel, I guess, that only wanted to work with certain people. And like Costas always wanted a smoothie from the Big Ticket.
We did want that. You know who was your guy? Or you had a lot of guys, but you know who was one of your guys was
Frank
Big
Thomas?
Hurt.
Joe Buck,
Frank
have,
Thomas.
Oh man, dude, we would have.
He
so
was
much,
the man.
He was the best. I really enjoyed talking to him. A lot of people that I had. Sometimes I was just working them for a tip, but then there was other guys that I really enjoyed talking to, and when I'd see them, I would look forward to seeing them.
Did you ever get starstruck by anybody who came into the hotel, like one person who you saw and you're like, damn, that's pretty fucking cool.
This sounds so strange, but do you remember after I saw Liz Gonzalez, how much I freaked out from Barstool?
Oh my God. Good Lord.
Mine was probably CeCe Sabathia though.
I had two separate ones. The first one was New Year's Eve Usher came in and asked me for a cigar. So I had to help him get a cigar from the cigar box.
I think I know your second.
Who's the second? Who was that cut?
Charles Woodson. Oh, Jim Nance. Jim Nance.
Jim Nance was really cool too, but it was
Post Malone.
That was cool too, but no, it was Al Pacino and DiCaprio when we had them in the private room together.
Wow.
They came in. That was pretty fucking cool. I was like, damn, this is cool. By the way, Post Malone is the nicest guy you'll ever meet. Jet, keep listening to his music. He's a really good guy. Took care of everybody.
DiCaprio used to come all the time. I remember
he'd wear a ball cap that was like this, so you couldn't see him. And he'd just sit like in the corner, and he'd only have like one server serve him because he just didn't want anybody like going up. He was a nice guy, but just super, super quiet. You know who was a pain in the ass, Bob? Mark Wahlberg. That guy would have to get room service at 3 a.m. because he'd be up. You'd have to have the gym ready for him. Like all the shit that he needed. He was like on such a weird regimented schedule. Like, is this a bit or is this how this guy lives normally? Because I can't imagine.
Cuz he grinds. It's not a bit.
Why do you need to get
Stay
up at 3 a.m?
Stay prayed up. Yeah, I actually – I saw him recently talking in an interview about they released, like, his schedule of what he said his schedule was.
Outrageous.
Yeah, he said that it got totally, like, overplayed and blown out of proportion of, like – but at the same time, he kind of gave the schedule. Like, he would do, like, when he eats, when he showers, like prayer – like, he did regimented time. It was pretty wild. So I'm talking about it today, I think. I saw a clip on it. I got to stay off TikTok, to be honest. I watch way too much TikTok. All right. Well, boys, it might be a little bit early into it, but we could go into a nice little Q&A session, bounce around a little bit from there if Poppy's got a few good things cooking.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones today, so we could let it run for a bit if you'd like. First question comes from Brian Williamson. How long did it take you guys to order Chick-fil-A nuggets again after the challenge?
Didn't Prez, didn't you go for breakfast at the airport not long after or no? Oh, no, I went home with you, so no.
No, that was, yeah, that was leaving Orlando. I don't think I've had Chick-fil-A since.
I haven't either.
And not even like thinking about it and not wanting it. It literally has not crossed my mind. I'm probably good on the nuggets for a little while. Yeah. By the end there, they just weren't enticing.
I don't think it was that tough a challenge, like to the point where like, it made you think about, like, you know, I remember when we did the Taco Bell, it was like a little while after where we were like, I'm good on tacos for a little bit, you know, that ship has sailed. We're back in. But I think with the nuggets, I don't think it's like one where it's like so bad where it's like, I can't do this. I will say that the worst one was, Bob, when we did the hot dog challenge, I don't think I had a hot dog after that for like maybe a year, like, or a long, long time after that. I just had no desire to eat hot dogs after that.
Same, and I would agree that the nuggets weren't terrible, so it didn't really affect me that way. The one that did affect me to where till this day, not that I haven't ate it, because I have, like when you guys have ordered it, I used to always have cravings for Taco Bell. I haven't had a Taco Bell craving like ever since that. I would eat it, but I don't crave it the way that I used to.
You also had an issue where some like food poisoning may or may not have been related to Taco Bell too. That was totally separate True. From that.
Yes.
Have you had a donut since then? Because it was between the donuts and the Taco Bell. We couldn't really figure it out.
No. It's a good point. I haven't.
Bob's done this before. He got sick one time. We went to this shitty spot in LA called Taco Cantina or something like
Cabo
this.
Taco Cantina, yeah.
Oh, that place stunk. We should never have gone. There was a terrible recommendation. Anyways, we went there, and Bob got sick off the taco and started just chuffing everywhere. But we had gone earlier in the day or the day before. We had gone to Jet's favorite spot, Tatsu Ramen, which Bob used to love going to because he threw it up. He just refused to ever go back to Tatsu, which is just – I get it, but it's such a shame that shitty taco spot ruined such a great restaurant. But once he's got it out of his system, that's it. It's done. There's no coming back from it.
Yeah, it's a shame because Tatsu really is good. I feel like that's a lot of people get that, though. I feel like if you have it something and then you get food poisoning, whether you knew what it was from or not, I think that's a thing. But yeah, I mean, it was a great spot. I think people always ask challenges wise, what's next up on the challenge. My two things, I'm curious for your boys' thoughts. I want a pizza challenge has to go down. And then I want to do the tequila challenge with Paige, which she's all for. I think would be great. I think it's time to get Paige back on the channel and a tequila
Wasn't
challenge.
Keegan wanting to do it too?
Yeah, and I love Keegan, but I think we run that with Paige and then maybe rip like a fireball challenge or something with Keegan.
That'd be pretty tight.
Yeah.
Taco challenge with Rom too. He said that he's down to do it. If we could ever do that.
That would get me back into Taco Bell.
I mean, if that doesn't get you back, nothing will, Bob.
Yeah.
You said he ate those he said it was the Jack in the Box taco.
Jack in the Box.
The little ones?
Yeah. It's
actually never done before.
It's a good taco.
Yeah.
Is it really?
They're like mini ones, right?
I've had their bigger ones, and the big ones are actually really good. Apparently, the small ones are just about the same thing.
I mean, how many of the little – I mean, how small are we talking? Like a little, like, keto type thing, or –
They put, like, 10 in one box to where I would – yeah, those are – it's tough to gauge. I mean, we ran into that issue with the Chick-fil-A challenge. Thank God you guys convinced me – to order more because I thought we could still just do the challenge. It would have sucked.
Yeah, I mean, we were like 40 to 50 to 60 in off the first hole, and it was like, this is gonna we're gonna be done with these fucking nuggets on four.
The chicken nuggets from McDonald's would be a different story.
Yeah,
that's a full size nugget. That's a full size nugget. I will say the last couple episodes that we've done with challenges, Bob's just gone nuclear. Like he's like, he used to go at a quick pace. Now it's not even a quick pace. It's like he wants to outdo his last. It's like he's like fucking trying to get like a world record here. He was at 50 and I think I was at like 25. I and it wasn't like I was going slow. It was like halfway through the challenge. Like, you're just housing this shit, Bob.
If there's anything that I don't want to do that I'm not looking forward to, I just love to get rid of it. It's like the gym, to be honest. Like, going to the gym. Yeah, I like going to the gym the first thing in the morning and just getting it over. If we play the speed golf, notice what we've done the speed golf, I've gone first every single time.
That makes sense. I mean, you don't want to have the nuggets over your head, right? Yeah. It's like, I know I've got this many nuggets. The sooner I can get through it, it's over. Like, it's gone.
Yeah, and then I don't feel
everything
as bad.
You've sprinted out of the gates.
Yeah, and then I feel better about if I'm not playing well, then I feel better about not playing as well and not helping you guys out, because at least I'm helping in that.
Well, you're contributing for sure. That's the one thing that people, I don't think they realize, which makes the challenges tough, is you have two different storylines. Like, you're trying to eat all the stuff that you're, whatever the challenge is, but then, you know, to go 5 under, you know, we're not exactly like model golfer. I mean, Perez is, but not me and you, Bob. To the point where we've played scrambles before in a 9-hole match and never gone 5 under or better. So, like, there's two elements there that can make it really tough. If you just focus on the food and you don't, you know, the score doesn't come. Was it which one did we do where we finished the challenge, but we didn't break the score?
The donuts.
No, the donuts we didn't eat. I thought there was another one.
No, it was donuts, because it was like, once we realized we couldn't shoot the score, it was like, right. I mean, at least for me, I was like, what am I going to eat these last four donuts for? We can't.
We might have to run the donut challenge back.
I think we do.
Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme glazed donuts, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
I don't think you won the hot dog challenge. No offense. I think you missed a putt at the end.
Oh, and the was it beer or fireball from Del Mar?
There's one of them that you did not win. Or that
we
you
definitely
won. Ran it back. No, but we ran the fireball back in Virginia.
Right.
We won beer. We passed the beer and fireball one.
I think it's the hot dogs. I think there was a miss putt at the end of
that. Yeah, maybe.
Sounds about right. And then I'd love to see the poppy, man. I'd love to see the poppy.
Oh,
you remember the Brilliantly Dumb Show when we had him do the hot dog challenge? It was unbelievable.
Guy was training for it like he was going into Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
My dad was out recently, and some guy saw him wearing the Have a Day hat, and he was like, "Oh, you're a Breezy fan. Like, you like the Bob the Sports Guys?" He's like, "Yeah, you know, I actually know someone on the team." And so anyway, they got to chatting and all that. But then he realized, he was like, "Oh my God, you're the bigger ticket. Like, you're the guy who was feeding your son all the hot dogs on the Brilliantly Dumb Show 2 years ago." And he was like, "Hand up, that is me. That's exactly who I am."
All right, Pop, let's rip another.
This one comes from Kai_Demore_22. Best tournament ever watched in person or on TV. I don't know if they mean golf or any tournament. Take it as you please.
You got to think. Bob, your headphones have been on every angle of your head for the last 30 minutes.
Yeah, they're getting uncomfortable.
On the back for a second.
I know. They're getting uncomfortable, so I keep going on and off of them.
I got to think. Tournament-wise, I'm trying to think any sporting event. But
wait,
I don't even know.
It's the best golf we've ever seen in any tournament?
It just says best tournament ever watched in person or on TV. So I suppose maybe he does mean golf, I would guess.
I mean, if it's on TV, I would think Tiger winning the Masters has got to be up there on everyone's list. That was just such an unbelievable, like, surprise that no one saw coming, and was so – and, like, leading up to that Sunday, I remember I did nothing. I was at work. I was at Boulevard, and I just was glued to the TV, like, at the bar, because it was like watching something that was like a story. It was just – it didn't make sense. So if you're saying just on TV, then that definitely is without question. Although I will say this last tournament was really cool because we had guys in it who we were rooting for, you know, right up until the end. So that's always makes any of these golf tournaments more enjoyable. But I haven't gone to a lot of in-person tournaments. Like I really just growing up, I never went to golf tournaments. They didn't really have them in Canada. They had the RBC Open in Vancouver a couple times, but like I never went. So I haven't seen a ton of golf tournaments. I think the first real one that we went to was in Brookline, the US Open. And that was super cool for me just because watching a major and being part of that environment was super cool. But
that was so much fun. That when we went to that one, that Boston's awesome. We're actually going back tomorrow, but Boston's great. That was a blast.
Yeah, it was a good event. I agree with you, Cuts. I think that Masters was absurd. Even the first time he won again at the Tour Championship, when like all those people crowded behind him and he hadn't won in forever, he was just on the comeback. He didn't win the like Tour Championship for the. Or like the season-long FedEx Cup. That was back when they did the like one guy can win a tournament, one guy wins that. But to see him with that reaction and that like first time getting in the winner's circle, it's the same kind of feel to that Masters, I felt like. And Augusta's never going to let people, you know, crowd behind him on the fairway like that. I just remember seeing that and being like, this guy's going to win fucking 10 more fucking majors. Like, this is awesome.
The first golf tournament I remember like watching was 2008 US Open when he won, which was pretty fucking wild. When he broke it, he like won on a broken leg and he went into it was US Open.
Oh, yeah, that was nuts.
He made the putt and then he won in a playoff the next day, a full 18 hole playoff.
Yeah.
Where was that? Was that Torrey Pines?
It was Torrey Pines. Yeah.
That was crazy.
They don't do those, those 18 holes anymore, which kind of sucks. I get it. I get it for the TV thing, but.
Yeah.
I think there was something cool about that US Open, like USGA, like full another 18 holes, run it back the next day, playoff.
He almost lost. He must have been unbelievably big favorite the next day. Though I guess he was hurt. So I don't know if that was taken into account, but he was down and on like the 16th or 17th hole. Didn't he go into another playoff hole? Didn't it go 18 and
then another? I think it went an extra hole on the 18. Yeah.
That's probably the wildest tournament I've ever seen, or final round.
Yeah, I you know what, with March Madness starting back up, maybe I'm off because I just haven't been watching as much college basketball, but the March Madness tournaments are always the best, but I feel like college basketball's missing, like there's not as much like notable players as there was like, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, like a Mecca Okafor, JD McNamara, JG Redick, like all that. I don't know. I feel like college basketball back then was so much better, or the product was better than it is now, and I don't know why.
It's that NIL, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of the last, like, superstar.
It was Zion Williamson.
Zion
was awesome.
Yeah.
Because then you had like Cade Cunningham that played for like Oklahoma State.
Yeah, for 1 year.
Yeah, he was like clearly the best player, but like he played for a team that was kind of whatever. It's all about the play, like the hype around a guy coming in, I feel like. I don't know if there's just a point where you get older and you just don't really give a shit about like a kid coming out of high school playing basketball. Like I think we might have at one point. I can't remember a year that I – no less going into picking my bracket than I do this year. I mean, I have watched almost no basketball outside of like a Spiders game in person. So I'm going to be fucking throwing darts at a fucking wall on this.
It's still pretty compelling. I only started watching like a month ago, and normally I would watch the whole year because then you'd be like, oh yeah, when tournament time comes around, I'll know what I'm talking about. And you never do. There's some compelling stories. Like you said, Creighton, like there's a lot of good, there's a few compelling stories, but you're right. I don't know too much what's going on anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, we got to get in back.
Fucking UConn's back. When did that happen?
UConn, well, they won last year. Like, yeah,
Jim Calhoun come back out of retirement. Yeah. Who coaches that team? Why are they good again?
These college. Speaking of UConn, these coaches. There's for some reason in college you can get away with being the greatest scumbag of all time on those sides. You can take a player and just it's like Cutsy and his employees. You can just fucking ream them out and no one gives a fuck anymore. You could scream at the coaches. They have a much longer leash in college. And it's just like, oh, he's just teaching the kids. He's letting it be. Meanwhile, this kid's confidence is gone for the next 6 months. It's wild what some of these
coaches. Hasn't that always been the case?
Yes,
there's a guy, Bobby Knight, who used to throw chairs at the kids. Yeah, that
was years ago. I'm talking specifically because I think it's Dan Hurley, I think, is coaching UConn. These guys are brutal to these kids.
Yeah. They ain't kids, dog. Learn, bro. They're kids, but they look like they're 30-year-old men. But
they hide behind, like, the fact that they're, like, molding young men. Like, you can't do that in the NBA, but you're allowed to fucking beat down an 18-year-old because you're molding him into a member of society.
You know how much harder it must be as a college basketball coach or a college coach at any, like, on the major stuff now that
totally
these kids have money? Like, totally. I bet the attitude when a kid's fucking driving around in a nice car and it's got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe $1 million. Like, how do you motivate
like Shador Sanders?
Yeah. Like, you used to be able to be like, look, you listen to me. I'll get you into the league. We're going to change your life, change your family's life. And now these kids are like,
that's why Nick Saban.
Oh, it's already got a million. You know what I mean? Like,
I think if it wasn't for the NIL, I think Nick Saban's still coaching for at least two more years, three more. I honestly think that really pushed him out.
You think he had like one guy where it was just like the last straw where some like big time recruit was just like, yo, coach, I'm going to need fucking $250K. And he's like, that's it. I can't fucking do this shit anymore.
I'm going to DC.
That's like, that's the last one. I'm not paying one more fucking kid. I'm out.
Not really. I think he blamed his wife.
Came out of nowhere.
He blamed his wife. He was like, she's like, why are we doing this anymore? And he's like, all right.
I heard that.
Everybody knows because Terry runs the show, dude. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Jay, you might watch as much, if not more TikTok than me.
Not anymore. I know. I just have it all ingrained in my brain from all the years of mush that I've just like seen all these fucking memes and things. But I have a great memory. So if I see something, I'll remember it.
I have a question about TikTok.
Sure.
If your For You page stinks, can you rechange it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Find something you like on your For You page and just sit on it for like 10 minutes. And then they'll just start fucking showing you that shit.
I like to think that Jet has some unpaid intern that just stays on the internet constantly. And then they have a deep
one of the shickers, dude. It's one of the shickers.
They have a standing 7 p.m. Zoom call. Where this kid just runs down like the hot trends and current events that are going on every day. And that's how Jet's just getting all of this info and then just presents it to us like he saw it. Like, I like to picture that in my mind that there's just some kid out there that's just got like multiple TVs and phones. And
I need that kid, Jet. I need to be dialed in.
I don't have the kid. That is why I had to reschedule the pod, but we don't typically do that. I have everything I say though is like some reference to some meme. I can't even control it. I think we all do it now. Everything is a reference to some fucking internet troll, which is me.
All right, Pop. Let's hit him with one more.
All right. This one comes from K Schroeder 79. If a song played every time you were announced on the T-Box, what song would it be?
Damn.
Oh, that's crazy. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's really good.
I got one. Well, I don't know if it's one.
Like,
it's
like an entrance song?
One I would like, or like that I think sounds good as a good intro, is, you ready for this? All of the Lights.
It's a good one.
I just think that's a great intro song. Yeah.
Nice piece.
Nice piece.
I feel like Bob just selects songs for people. Like he gave me Evanescence Front by The Who, like very early on in knowing him. And like, that's it. Like I didn't have a say in the matter. I don't have one now. Like that's the one. Anything else would be like, why didn't he play The Who?
I will tell you, one of my favorite things to do is like when I have a story and deciding what song to put. Sometimes we all talk like what song to put. I love that process of deciding which song to pick. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't know, man. Something Billy Joel, but I guess it would have to be kind of more of a pump up. But you can give me anything Billy Joel. Joey D?
Maybe something from like Biggie. I think that'd be pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
I think I said it to you yesterday, but I'm just gonna go Boston, More Than a Feeling. I think it's just such a class song.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah.
It gets the people going.
It sure does. All right, let's Bob, if you have one more, let's do one more.
I got one more. This one comes from Tro's Golfer. Or T-Rose Golfer. Rank the top wing sauces / flavors.
It's right in your wheelhouse, too, Pop, Joey D.
Should we all just take one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. There's sneaky good sauces that, like, I just can't do one sauce if I do wings. I need to have at least two different sauces, like, sometimes three, because there's, like, sometimes you'll get like a Korean barbecue flavor, or like a Parmesan garlic, and like they just smack. So like it's good to give a little variable. I'll give one that's really good that I really like is the mango habanero. You got the sweet and the spicy. I think that that's a hell of a, it's got some kick to it. So if you like to feel something like Poppy does, that's a good sauce. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, Wingstop puts that. Wingstop does that really, really well.
Yeah, sure I do.
I'll go with the easy one because you got to have it on there. I'd go just buffalo down the middle. Buffalo, not too hot, like medium spice. Give me buffalo.
Strong. I'll do Asian zing from the Wild Wings. That sort of sweet heat that Cutsy was talking about. Not quite that mango habanero. That's hot. But somewhere just a little bit sweet, but a little bit of heat.
I like that.
You need to the bathroom.
Pop likes that lemon pepper. He likes a lemon pepper dry
rub.
Yeah,
I was going to go mango habanero had no one taken it, but I will absolutely go. I'll get a dry rub on the board there with the lemon pepper.
That's nice. Yams?
Give me. Okay, so here's the thing. I put honey mustard on everything, but give me teriyaki sauce. But we were at Hooters, and they had this Daytona sweet and spicy something that was unbelievable. So I might have to make the switch.
It's called Daytona. I'm shocked at how good those wings were. I mean, that place, the wings were unbelievable.
They're great really spot. Good.
Yeah, really, really was. All right, boys. Well, look, more to come. We just shot some content down here in Jupiter. Still some Myrtle content rolling out as well, so keep an eye on for that. We have Bob Does Sports Major coming Thursday. So a lot to come. We just filmed a 9-hole major as well, so a lot of stroke play stuff that we've been throwing your way as well. That has been another edition of the Bob Does Sports podcast. We love you, folks. We appreciate you. Till next time, take care.